Chinese Chaz and Dave.
I see. And you think they'll hire a Chinese Bay City Rollers?
And now, Your Majesty, just before we take you to the pub, it's time for the East End Veterans Flypast.
Watch that. Oh, no. It's the veterans. We run out of time. We're going to look like complete idiots in front of the Queen.
No, we're not. We'll get these guys to play instrumentals.
Oh, Dodgy, that's genius. We're saved. What's an instrumental?
Well, I can't remember how to fly this thing. But which one's the joystick?
I think I'm going to be sick.
Oh, yes, where's my... Oh, my wheelchair's turned into a plane.
Well, maybe the joystick's this one. Uh-oh.
And the pub is the next street along.
What's that noise?
Oh, no. Chaz Knight would be in.
Bombed.
That's right, Your Majesty. We should be able to see the pub any moment now.
Oh, it looks just like one remembers.
World of Pub was written by Tony Roach and based on an original idea by Tony Roach and David Specchio and starred John Thompson, Peter Serafinowicz, Phil Cornwell, Kim Wall and Deborah Stevenson. Theme music by Bill Bailey, special effects by Carl Phillips and Nick Romero. The producer was Jane Bertou.
Oh, are you all right, fella?
Oh, my hands. I think they're broken, mate.
Oh, jeez, yeah. That means you're going to miss the big gig next week.
Hello, Chaz. Dodgy Phil. I might be able to put some work your way. Yeah, mate. Can you do an Australian accent?
Well, I don't know what you think. I think it was just like when she did that cameo in the Olympic opening ceremony. And that's the end of the World of Pub. So next week, we're treated to one of those wonderful monologues written by Marriott Edgar. And the monologuist is the wonderful Les Dawson.
The digital station on radio, TV and online. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, in this week's Omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra, we catch up on Kenton's long-awaited sailing trip in New Zealand with his daughter, his ex-wife, his new girlfriend and old business partner. And it sounds to me like it'll be plain sailing.
And that one, Kenton's got the rum.
Oh, now that is serious.
Jolene, do you want to pass me your bag up?
Oh, thanks. You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, can I get on, please?
Yeah, yeah. All right, Miss Excited.
Hey, Muriel. There you go.
Keep your leg over the rail.
Okay.
Oh, good girl. Now, right, before we do anything else, life jacket on.
Uh-huh. Come below and we'll sort that out.
Me now?
You want a hand, Jolene?
No, thanks. I think I can manage.
Come on, over you come. Welcome aboard, Fast Friends.
Oh, that's a nice name for a boat.
Yeah, and thanks for coming. I mean, not just the sailing. I mean, to New Zealand. I know it's not been easy for you.
Oh, wow.
Find yourselves back, coming up.
Not a bad-looking tub, is she? You're good in there, Kenton.
Oh, should I put one on?
Well, if you'd feel more comfortable, but adults don't usually wear one.
Is that safe?
Oh, if it gets rough, we clip on the boat with safety lines.
Yeah, well, that's the key thing, not to fall overboard in the first place.
Be a pretty scary place, alone in the water.
Yeah, but anyway, that's not going to happen because we're all going to take care. Right, Mel and Lance, can you start stowing the provisions?
Yeah.
Lance?
What?
You get that stuff put away?
Right, I need to get all cabin blind, aren't we?
I wasn't, I'm just...
Come on, Lance, sling me that box.
Ah, well, since you asked so nicely.
When do we start sailing?
Well, pretty soon, but you know how boats lean over? We've got to make sure everything's stowed away safely.
Where will we go?
We'll start with some very gentle sailing just around the harbour, and then when you and Jolene are used to the boat, then we'll head off to Waiheke.
Awesome.
Yeah. Ooh, better put your bag in your cabin. It's the one at the front. Yeah?
In the bow.
Yes. In the bow.
Come on, sweetheart, I'll show you.
Right.
And I'm sure you are.
Now, when they're sorted, I'll show you our cabin. What is it?
Oh, you know, I don't think I've ever seen you like this.
Like what?
Well, you're in your element, aren't you? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I am. And I promise, we are going to have a great time.
Well, switch it off.
No signal.
No, it's gone.
Well, I sent a tweet before we left Auckland. Kirsty said bon voyage. Modern technology, eh? So easy to keep up with what people are doing nowadays. Yeah, yeah.
Not if you can't get a signal.
Oh, we've still got the VHF, sweetheart. We can always use that if there's an emergency. Pass that to Jolene.
Oh, lovely. Thanks, Mel. Oh. So, this is sailing. I think I could get used to it.
Oh, that's the ferry that goes to Great Barrier Island. We went tramping there a couple of years back. It's beautiful.
Two hoots, Meryl.
Turning to starboard.
Yep. So we're going to keep well out of her way. Right, you better hold on to your glass, Jolene. Oh. We're going to jibe.
Jibe?
Well, the wind's behind us, and I'm going to turn the boat so it comes the other side of the sail. Nothing to worry about.
It can be dangerous if you don't control it, though.
Oh, if it happens by accident, the wind catches the sail and whips the boom across.
Yeah, that thing ever hits you on the head, you know why it's called a boom.
Old sailing joke.
Yeah, so, stand by to jibe. Mm. Right, we'll pull it in.
You okay on the main, Kenton?
Yeah,
sure. Should I do the gym?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Jibe-o!
That's the way to do it.
Isn't it beautiful, these guys in action, like a well-oiled machine.
I think we've deserved this.
Too right, mate.
Got here by our own efforts.
Such a different experience. Mm. Dropping anchor, rowing ashore, makes it special, doesn't it?
Ah. All too exciting for Meryl, look.
I'm not surprised. She hardly slept last night.
Is she warm enough, do you think?
Yeah, she's fine.
Could use some more wood.
I think I saw some a bit further up the beach. I'll go and have a look.
Oh, I'll come with you.
No, you don't have to.
No, I'd like to.
Okay. Oh, great. There we go.
Thanks.
So, first day then, eh? What do you think?
Alone at last.
Except for Meryl.
Yeah, she's out for the count. Really glad I looked you up, Mel.
Good to see you.
I think about those days a lot, back in Cairns.
Yeah.
What might have been.
Oh, well, you know, we were undercapitalised.
No. I mean, you and me.
Oh.
Caught me by surprise when you and Kenton got hitched. Always thought I might have had a chance.
Lance.
And then when he did his flit... I should have said my piece then and there, but you headed back to Kiwiland.
It was a very difficult time.
Yeah. For me too. Still, here we are now. Together again, sailing again. Who knows what might happen, eh? What's up?
I'm just going to give them a hand with the wood.
Oh, I'll help.
Keep an eye on Meryl, please.
What is it?
I was just going to say, Ambridge seems a long way away.
Well, 11,000 miles, I'd say that's pretty far.
Yep.
I mean, you could almost say it's on the other side of the world.
Hi! You guys! Hold up.
What, is Meryl okay?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just thought you might need a hand.
We're only getting a few bits of wood.
But, yeah, the more the merrier. Isn't that right, Jolene?
Thank you. take us to get to the Bay of Islands?
Oh, a couple of days.
2 days?
Well, ish.
Well, what do you mean, ish?
You know, the wind hasn't got up as much as I thought.
No.
Told you we didn't need that reef.
Yeah, I was just erring on the cautious side.
You were erring, all right, mate. I said, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah, all right, Lance.
Do you want to shake it out?
Yeah, think we better.
Oh, can I help?
Yeah, sure. Bring her head to wind, Lance.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Right, come on then.
I'll do the topping lift and halyard.
Shall I take the ties off?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we can do it together.
Oh, we don't have to wait for the topping lift, do we?
Oh, no, no, they can come straight off.
Remember to tie them onto the grab handles.
I will.
Yeah, isn't it nice to see a family working together like that, Jolene?
Well, that was neatly done, don't you think?
Well, I ain't the one to ask.
You're a very handy sailor, Mary.
I must take after you. And Mum.
Oh, can someone take the wheel? I fancy grabbing 40 wings.
Can I?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
You have control, darling.
What should I be steering?
015. Now keep it down, you lot. No wild parties.
You're doing very well. I think you can bear away a bit. Make it 020, yeah?
Dad?
Yeah?
I'm a bit cold. Can I get my fleece?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'll take over.
Thanks. Do you want anything, Jolene?
Oh, no thanks, Mariel.
Oh, Lance.
For God's sake.
Was that Mum?
No.
It looked like her in her running gear.
I said it wasn't her. What do you think you're playing at, bursting in on people?
I'm sorry, I didn't
realise... Gonna go have 5 minutes in peace? Should keep your nose out of other people's business.
I just wanted my fleece.
Here it is. Get out.
I'm sorry.
And shut the door.
I'm amazed you didn't keep the sailing up.
Yeah, I know. Well, when I got back to England, I suppose I just became a landlubber again.
Well, you're no landlubber, Kenton. It's like you never stopped.
Yeah, well, you know. Something you learn young stays with you, doesn't it?
So it seems.
Yeah, I was always happiest on the water. So now I'm back into it, I think I'm going to have to get some more trips in.
Well, shame you're not much of a sailor, Jolene.
Mm. Well, shame Ambridge is so far from the sea, too. Oh, here she is.
Oh.
Well, time for me to move over.
It's all right.
Oh, I thought you wanted to steer.
No, it's okay, you do it.
Dinner will be about 10 minutes.
Okay. Oh, did you say the jib roller was stiff?
Yeah, it was a bit jerky when I was furling it.
All right, okay, I'll take a look.
You're a star, Kenton.
Now that is quite a view, Jolene.
Oh, it's magnificent, isn't it?
Got to hand it to the Kiwis. They've got a good-looking country.
Yeah, some of it reminds me of home, and some bits are really different. Well, at least from the bits of Britain I've seen.
Must be hard to get around much running a successful business.
Well, it's pretty time-consuming, yeah.
And Kenton the same, I guess?
Yeah. Although,
what?
Well, he doesn't have much trouble taking time off when he needs it. Ain't so easy when you're living over the shop. There's always something you can't ignore.
Bet. Hmm. Pipes to clean, peacocks to feed.
Yeah. I told you about Eccles then, did I?
Yeah, he must have. Or maybe Kenton did.
Not sure he'll be around for much longer.
Yeah, well, that's Kenton for you.
No, I mean Eccles. He's getting quite old.
Oh, right. Well, probably goes with the both of them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to need the pliers.
Anyway, my spell mill could do with some help. Let me squeeze in by and I'll give you a hand mill.
No, that's okay.
That's no bother.
No, Kenton said he'd help. Well,
did I?
Yes, you remember?
Well, I was going to fix the roller.
I'd prefer you to give me a hand.
Oh, well...
Actually, I'll help.
No, no, I don't mind.
You've already got a job to do.
Yes, but if...
Yeah, well, you get on with that. Lance can help you with that. Can't you, Lance?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, thanks, Jolene. Maybe you could butter some bread.
I've had just about enough of this.
I'm sorry?
I can see what's going on.
What do you mean?
You coming on to Kenton.
What?
Oh, so obvious. All this, weren't it wonderful back then stuff? All the happy families.
Oh, I don't know what gives you that.
From the moment we got on board this boat, you've been cozying up to him. You're no landlubber, Kent.
Oh, what on earth?
And you won't leave us alone together for 2 minutes. Oh, please come and help me with the food, Kenton. Oh,
That was because Lance... Look, there is no way I'd want to get back with Kenton. It's unthinkable.
Is it? Look at all you've got in common.
Well, that's all in the past.
Oh, Australia might be. But sailing? Burial? They ain't in the past, are they?
No, but...
I can see how well you've been getting on.
Yes, for Meriel's sake. Of course I've been trying to get on with him.
It don't look like you've got to try too hard.
Oh, doesn't it? It took me years to forgive Kenton for what he did.
Looks to me like you put that well behind you. Wait, okay, he might not have been very clever with his money.
You think that was about money? You don't know the half of it. Would you want a relationship with a man who forced you to have an abortion?
There you go. A special breakfast for a special girl.
Thank you.
That's how you like your egg down, isn't it, Meriel?
Yeah.
You want some tomato sauce?
No, thank you.
Watch you up. Just holler if you want anything else. And here's your mum. But she's hungry too.
You okay, sweetheart?
Ready for some breakfast, Mel?
Wouldn't say no. Are Jolene and Kenton awake?
Oh, no, they're still in their cabin.
Okay. Do you think you could put mine in a sandwich?
Sure thing.
I think I'll take it out to the cockpit.
Can you pass my deck shoes? Jolene?
What?
My shoes? What is it?
What?
What? You were really enjoying yourself a couple of days ago. Now I can't get a word out of you. What's up?
I spoke to Mel last night.
Oh, I thought there was something. What, did you two have a row?
No.
Well, what then?
It was about you.
Me?
She said... Look, Kenton, I know you've got a bit of a past. Everyone knows you haven't stuck at things. You let people down.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. Yeah, sometimes.
But I always thought you were basically a decent bloke, a good man.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, it was hard for me to find out how you left Mel and then taking years before you started to support Meriel. That didn't sound like the man I thought I knew.
Oh, but you know, if I could change things, I would. But when I got home, I had nothing. You know, just the clothes on my back. And no money, no prospects.
I know that.
I practically had to beg Jack Woolley to buy the cafe and let me run it so I'd have a job and somewhere to live. And once I was earning properly, I did start to send money for Meriel. I mean, okay, maybe not as regularly as I should have, but
Kenton,
I did...
that's not it. Mel told me about the abortion. Oh. That you forced her to have. Is it true?
Yes. I know it sounds horrible, but I couldn't see any alternative.
Don't be so stupid. Of course there was an alternative.
You don't know what it was like. No, seriously, we had no money. We were living in a tiny flat. We were overextended on the yacht. The business was in serious trouble. Could just throw a child into that. Would have been a disaster.
Well, Mel doesn't seem to think so.
Jolene, just remember how she and I got together. I mean, we only got married so I could stay in Oz, and we certainly never talked about having children. I didn't sign up for that.
Didn't sign up for that?
No, I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, God, I knew you had a selfie streak, but that's something else.
No, I just meant...
Hey, you two. Are you decent?
What is it, Lance?
Got some coffee here for you.
Oh, right.
And breakfast is just about ready.
Yeah, we're coming.
Okay.
Yeah, in a minute.
Thanks.
Jolene, please, let me explain.
Yeah, go on.
I really thought it was for the best. I mean, not just for me, for Mel as well. I didn't realise how it would affect her.
Well, pretty badly by what she said.
Yeah, I know. She got depression quite seriously. But more than that, she became obsessed with getting pregnant. All she wanted was a baby. It was like there was nothing else in her life.
Well, after what you'd made her do.
I did feel guilty and I tried to meet her halfway. I mean, I thought, well, maybe if we could get the business back on track. So we agreed to let it go another season, 9 months, maybe a year, and then see.
But you didn't want a kid. You were just stalling her, weren't you?
No,
of course you were.
I thought there might have been a chance I'd come around to the idea in time. But okay, yes, I suppose I was hoping that Mel would get better and it would go away. And she agreed. You know, we made a deal. But then 3 months later, she was pregnant again. Said it was an accident, but I knew it wasn't. I mean, she tricked me.
You don't know that?
Yeah, I do. Oh. I mean, she was really close to the edge. I should have realised she'd have agreed to anything, but I felt betrayed.
Oh, Kenton! Yeah,
and the worst thing is, being pregnant didn't make her better. I mean, she got even more obsessed. You know, it was baby clothes, buggies, breathing exercises. She just turned into a different woman. And the business...
Ooh.
Better get out here unless you like burnt bacon.
Yeah, all right, Lance. Mm. It was a disaster for the business. I mean, Lance and I, we knew sailing, but we relied on her to handle the books and the admin. And then the bills piled up and the assurance, it didn't get paid.
But what, so you were totally incapable of taking on a bit of admin?
By the time that we realised it was too late, we were bust.
I can't believe this. You're saying it was Mel's fault.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Not now. Okay, yeah, if I am honest, I did at the time. And that was when it all came to a head. We had one hell of a row and she threw me out.
Well, can you blame her?
It had always been a bit volatile between us. You know, we'd cool down and a couple of days later I'd buy her some flowers or I'd make some daft gesture and we'd make up. Yeah, but this was different. With the yacht being repossessed and the baby and all the emotion... I went to Sydney. I thought I'd see some friends, clear my head.
But you never went back.
I found myself ringing Mum.
Found yourself?
Yes, that's what it was like. As if I wasn't controlling my actions. I told her Mel had left me for someone else.
Which was a lie.
It was just self-protection. And then, a few days later, I was back in Ambridge.
You ran away. Not just from your business. Not just from your friends.
I know, I messed up.
Yeah, but from your wife, who was mentally ill and had a baby to look after.
Look, I am so sorry. Please.
No, get off me.
Well, you cleaned that plate, Mariel. Good girl. You want some more?
No, thanks.
You sure? I've made plenty.
No, I've had enough.
Well, I'll wash your plate for you.
I'm going to clean my teeth.
Good girl.
Hi, Jolene.
Morning.
Ah, just in time. These sausages are getting a bit black.
Actually, I'm not very hungry.
You're all right, though. Doesn't sound like you two are very happy in there.
Oh, no.
Oh, hey.
It's like I don't know him at all.
Oh, it's all right.
What he put Mel through.
I know.
No, you don't.
I do. Everything.
What happened?
Yep.
Oh,
God. Must have been a shock for you.
Morning.
G'day.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Let's get the anchor up. I promised Mariel a sailing trip.
Cabin?
Yeah. She's not feeling very well.
Well, that's most of the day now.
Hmm.
Well, if someone takes the wheel, I could go and see if she needs anything.
I think you're better off leaving her. She'll let us know if she wants anything.
Yes, thanks, Lance. If anyone's going to see her, it'll be me.
You? Don't you think you've done enough?
Can we just leave it, please?
Fine by me. Shouldn't we be going about, Ken?
No, it's fine. Stay on this tack until I say, Mel.
Okay.
Sure, have you seen the depth sounder?
Lance, will you stop?
It's shelving!
Well, go about! Go about!
Ready about! You okay, boys?
Yeah, just hold on!
Hello, Kenton, you were saying? I don't understand it. We should have had at least 4 metres below us.
Got other things on your mind, mate?
Duck boiled yet?
I've only just put it on.
Oh, you've been down here ages.
Please, Mel, don't you give me a hard time as well.
Sorry.
Jolene's barely speaking to me, and I've had it up to here with Lance.
I know. I'm sorry about Jolene, but she's got the wrong idea about you and me.
Forget it. I probably deserve it.
So, were you checking the chart?
Yeah, and the GPS. Got so involved I forgot to come down to make coffee.
Ha!
Can't even seem to plot a course right anymore.
Look, if you and Jolene have got issues, can you try and keep them to yourselves?
We aren't.
I just want things to be as smooth as possible for Meriel.
Of course, me too.
And if you're a bit preoccupied, I'll watch your back with the navigation, okay?
Thanks.
Right. I'm off to the heads.
Okay. Well, I'll meet you at cuppa when you're out.
That'll be very welcome.
How you doing, Kenton?
Fine, yeah. Coffee won't be long.
Yeah, mate, no worries. Can I talk to you?
Yeah, I suppose so. Is Mary on steering?
Yeah, she's doing great.
You okay, Mary?
I'm fine.
Just keep her on a broad reach.
Okay.
So, Lance, you wanted a word?
Yeah. Well, actually, mate, I want what you owe me.
I'm sorry?
From when the business went under. Worked it out, and I reckon 50k should cover it. $50,000 Australian.
You didn't have anything like that invested in the Aurora.
No, when you take loss of earnings into account, and mental hardship, I find I've been pretty conservative.
Yeah, and we all lost money.
Oh, gee, mate, not a lot.
All I had...
The point is, it was your fault.
Look, Lance, I'm sick of this. You've been insinuating it was all down to me since the moment you got
here. Mate, if you hadn't done a bunk, we could have made a go of it.
You were talking out of your backside. We'd gone under financially long before I left. It's just one of those things. You've got to put it down to experience and move on.
Move on?
Yeah, that's life.
Oh, yeah. You and Mel have moved on, all right? I'm still bumming boats around the Tasman Sea, and there's you with your bar shacked up with a woman who owns a pub.
I'm the manager of Jack's. I don't own
you
it.
You bounce back big style, Kenton, travelling around the world renting boats.
Oh, God, have you got the wrong end of the stick?
I don't know what you're laughing about, mate. It's not funny.
And I maxed out my credit card for this little jewel.
You've ruined my life.
Hey, Lance,
you own it!
Oh, for God's sake!
Ow! Yeah, bad a finger. Sorry, Muriel. I was just helping your dad make the coffee and the kettle slip. Isn't that right, Kenton?
Yeah. Nothing to worry about, Mary.
Okay.
Yeah, you just keep on as you are. I'll put the kettle back on.
Someone better mop that up.
Yeah. Lance.
What?
You know, I shouldn't have been so hasty. I mean, thinking on it, maybe you do have a point.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it'll take a little while to get that sort of money together. 50 grand Australian, what's that? It's about, what, 30,000 sterling?
32, something like that.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, when we get back on shore, I can arrange to liquidate some investments, and, well, I'm sure we can come to some arrangement.
Kenton, you're a beaut.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a fair go. How you doing, Muriel? Seen any more dolphins? I remember once I was trying to find my way to Hobart long before GPS
was out. What the hell?
Did you hear that?
Every word. My God. What have we got on board?
Ambridge Extra was written by Kerry Davis, directed by Peter Leslie Wild, and produced by Sarah Bradshaw. The editor was John York. And if you missed anything, don't forget that you can hear that omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra again later on today at 7:15. Now, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, a tale of recreational sex and drugs, happy brainwashed consumers and genetic engineering comes to 4Extra this week. The opening episode features the Central London Hatching and Conditioning Centre, a nursery of the future where they grow clones. The director gives students a tour of its production lines.
A nurse rose as they entered.
What's the lesson this afternoon?
Asked the director. Elementary sex for the first 40 minutes. Now it's switched to elementary class consciousness. The director pressed a switch. Let's have it on the loudspeaker. Oh, no, said a voice. I don't want to play with Delta children, and Epsilons are too stupid to read or write. Besides, they wear black, which is such a beastly colour. I'm so glad I'm a Beta. Alpha children wear grey. They work much harder than we do because they're so frightfully clever. I'm really awfully glad I'm a Beta because I don't work so hard. The director pushed the switch. The voice was silent.
Aldous Huxley's classic from 1932 is a freaky and ominous yet fascinating tale. And you can hear Brave New World, read by Anton Lesser, on 4Extra, starting tomorrow in the 7th Dimension at 6:30 and again at 12:30.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4Extra.
Next, Eleanor Bron reads the penultimate chapter of A Strange Eventful History, Michael Holroyd's stunning biography of Henry Irving and Ellen Terry. Now at the height of her powers, Ellen's faced with her greatest challenge yet.
Lady Macbeth interests me beyond expression, Ellen told her friend Stephen Coleridge. How much I fear she will be beyond my expression. Of what use would her celebrated charm, her natural vivacity be in depicting the fiend-like queen? It was generally agreed that the great tragedian Sarah Siddons had given the definitive performance of Lady Macbeth in the late 18th century. A performance of such devastating power that some of the audience, overwhelmed by the atmosphere of evil they breathed in, had fainted away. But an article published in 1843 revealed that Sarah Siddons had apparently seen Lady Macbeth as a fair, feminine, nay, perhaps even fragile woman, whose power sprang from a charm of such potency as to fascinate the mind of a hero. This was very different from the virago she had portrayed on stage. Mrs. Siddons was, it seems, a prisoner of her solemn talent, whose majestic presence and commanding features seemed to disregard love as a trifle to which they cannot descend. Ellen Terry had a unique degree of that trifle of love. Perhaps she could achieve something that had eluded the legendary Sarah Siddons. For Ellen, Lady Macbeth's love for Macbeth is not simply an admiration for his exploits in the field, but a sense of what he lacked and she could make good. Perhaps this reflected something in Ellen's feelings for Irving, too. That she admired his achievements in the theatre, he knew, but she knew his weaknesses and doubts, from which sprang those outbursts of bullying during rehearsals and his dictatorial methods of management. She had sweetened the atmosphere at the Lyceum, and in this sweetness he could perhaps read a love of his whole nature. Macbeth opened at the end of 1888 and was an unusually controversial success for the Lyceum. "The great fact about Miss Terry's Lady Macbeth is its sex," wrote a critic in The Star. "It is redolent, pungent, with the odeur de femme. Look how she rushes into her husband's arms, clinging, kissing, coaxing, and even her taunts, when his resolution begins to wane, are sugared with a loving smile." It was in the first act, when Lady Macbeth makes her entrance into the court at Inverness Castle, that Ellen herself, with blanched face and copper-coloured hair, and wearing a blue-green gown that shone with a strange metallic lustre, was best remembered. Among the audience on that first night was the American artist John Singer Sargent, who asked Ellen whether he might paint her in the role. "The picture was the sensation of the year," Ellen reported to her daughter. When the final curtain came down in June 1889, they had given 150 performances. It was a climax to the Irving-Terry partnership. When Ellen rented a property at Winchelsea in Sussex, Irving often came to stay with her. A photograph of him there in the early 1890s shows him relaxed, smiling, looking happy, his hands not clenched, as they usually were when going through the ordeal of being photographed. though he did not go around in bare feet as she did, their neighbour wrote, "We often caught glimpses of him in rather queer get-ups as he sat taking his ease in Nell's garden." And their strange manoeuvres when rehearsing raised the eyebrows of some natives of the village. The fragile balance between Ellen and Henry, which had worked so well in Macbeth, was prolonged somewhat artificially over the next 2 years. "Here was I in the very noonday of my life," Ellen wrote in her memoirs, "fresh from Lady Macbeth, suddenly called on to play a rather uninteresting mother in The Dead Heart." Irving then put on Ravenswood, a truncated version of Walter Scott's The Bride of Lammermoor. By the end of the 1891 season, the Lyceum